أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد مَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ هَيَّا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حيا على الفلاح حيا على الفلاح الصلاة خير من النوم الصلاة خير من النوم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters, and Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother Abdul Muthakir Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our little podcast where we strive each and every day to help the believers to get off to a good start during each morning of the blessed month of Ramadan. And we thank you for joining, and we pray that the words of our guest speakers will be of assistance and aid us all in our growth and development as believers in Allah. Oh, brothers and sisters, we were blessed to hear from our beloved sister and Dr. Khalilah Muhammad, who gave us such beautiful words and expressions yesterday. We thank Allah for her inspiring words with us. We thank Allah for our guest speaker today. And to take us further into our program this morning will be our sister, Sister and Dr. Nisa Islam Muhammad. Sister Nisa.
Yes, sir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I bear witness there's no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, welcome back to my part five of We Know Occupation. During this historical segment, I will focus on Blacks and Palestine. In my last segment, I spoke about the bravery of Ambassador Andrew Young when he met with the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization's Yasser Arafat. Unfortunately, Ambassador Young was forced to resign. One of Ambassador Young's greatest supporters was Reverend Jesse Jackson. His most significant impact on American perspectives toward Israel and Palestine occurred nearly 10 years later during his presidential campaign in 1988. The campaign collaborated with the Arab American Institute to successfully advocate for the passage of resolutions favoring a two-state solution at 11 state Democratic Party conventions. At the 1988 Democratic National Convention, delegates supporting Jackson distributed Palestinian flags and T-shirts in an effort to include a similar proposal in the party's platform. The campaign eventually abandoned the addition of the platform, but Reverend Jackson's unwavering stance on the topic initiated what historian Nikhil Pyle Singh refers to as the initial substantial public discussion in the United States regarding the concept of a two-state solution in the Middle East. Well, the Israeli onslaught against Palestine has been happening for decades. The summer of 2014 was marked by the simultaneous military attacks on the Gaza Strip and, surprisingly, the occupation of Ferguson, Missouri. Israel's military campaign lasted for 51 days, placing the region under siege. This operation involved the use of 32,000 artillery shells and 6,000 airstrikes, resulting in a significant loss of life with over 2,000 fatalities and 10,000 injuries. These figures underscore the extensive reach of imperial authority and the use of violence in that conflict. In August that same year, Michael Brown Jr., an unarmed 18-year-old African-American, was fatally shot by Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson. This incident sparked a profound examination of state violence and the criminalization of individuals. To make matters worse, Michael Brown Jr.'s body remained on the ground for over 4 hours, adding to the significance and visibility of this tragic event. These two violent instances emphasize the ability of the modern nation state, whether in the U.S. or Israel, to exert control over life and death. It also brought attention to how Blacks and Palestinians were diminished, dehumanized, and annihilated. In the context of these violent events, a notable phenomena was emerging that expression of solidarity between Blacks and Palestinians. In Ferguson, Black activists wore Palestinian keffiyehs and shouted internationalist political slogans such as, "From Ferguson to Palestine, occupation is a crime." Simultaneously, considerable focus was directed toward the tweets disseminated by Palestinians residing in the West Bank. The Palestinians via social media provided guidance to the predominantly Black Ferguson protesters regarding the appropriate measures to safeguard themselves against the effects of tear gas. This galvanized Black Lives Matter activists who began to play active roles in organizing and promoting pro-Palestinian protests all over the country. A Black Lives Matter organizer in New Jersey summarized the movement's sentiments by saying, "We know occupation. We know colonization. We Know Police Brutality. More next time. Our special guest this morning is Sudani Ma'am Abdul Alim Ansari from Houston, Texas. Welcome, Imam.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Jazakallah khair, Ummah Reflecting. May Allah reward each of you with good. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who intervene in our affairs in the person of Master Far Muhammad, the Great Mahdi. We thank him for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we thank them both for the Honorable Minister Louis Farhan. All praise is due to Allah who united the hearts of the believers with Islam, and has made it an obligation to remain united, and has made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. Fellow Muslims, brothers and sisters throughout our world of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tweeted, "During this Ramadan, we should strive to be emissaries of peace to one another." The last ayah of Juz or part 19, Allah instructs his messenger to say, "Praise be to Allah and peace on his servants whom he has chosen. Is Allah better or what they associate with him?" You see, associating anything with Allah disturbs your peace and disconnects you from him and robs you of his power in you, and for you and I to exercise that power. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states in his monumental book, Message to the Black Man, quote, "In fact, God means possessor of power and force," end of quote. So, fellow Muslims, Juz part 20 opens up with ayah 60 through 64 asking you a simple question. Is there a God with Allah? And if we look at the definition that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us, a God, or is there a power or force with Allah? The word ma'a meaning with, to accompany, like walk with me to the store. Is there a force or power in the life of a Muslim that is with Allah? The answer should be emphatically no, because our power is in Allah. This is why we as Muslims say, La ilaha illallah. There is no God, no power, no force except Allah. So we are saying, Muslims, Wa la quwwata illa billahi. There is no power except in Allah, billahi, or with Allah. If you remember in Juz 16, part 16, Allah says of himself, Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'abdni wa aqim salata li dhikri. Indeed, I am Allah. There is no God except me. So serve me and establish prayer for my remembrance. You see, that's where the power and force is. Then Allah gives us the way to be in this power by serving him and establishing prayer for his remembrance. So in this month of Ramadan, we are mindful of serving him. We are mindful of serving others by Allah's permission. We are mindful of performing our prayers for his remembrance. And we are mindful of reading our Quran, a juice a day. Allah tells us in his glorious Quran, and your Lord says, "Pray to me, I will answer you." Allah gives us in this Juz an example of Musa, where he had to pray, work, pray, and then Allah answered to the prayer in this Juz. When Musa, in ayah 22, it reads, "And when he turned his face towards Midian, he made a dua, or a prayer, maybe my Lord will guide me in the right path." And then he saw some sisters working, trying to water the sheep, but it was some men won't let them water the sheep. So in verse 24, he did some work. So he watered the sheep for them and then went back into the shade. And then he made another prayer. Remember, prayer, work, and then he prayed again. My Lord, I stand in need of whatever good thou send to me. And then in the next verse, a sister come running up to him bashfully, and she said, my father invites you that he may reward you for having watered for us. So Musa made a prayer. Musa went to work. Then Musa came back and made another prayer, and then Allah answers his prayers. And then in verse 26, brothers, look what the first thing Allah says. And then the sister said, and my father desires to employ you. Look at that, right? So she asked for to give him a job first, and then the father said, you know what, I want to marry, you know, one of my daughters to you. And then Musa got an 8 to 10 year contract. Good Lord, Allahu Akbar. So what does this tell us? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tweeted, we don't just pray to be praying. We are praying for the blessings and the favor of Allah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the Table Talk said, to serve God, you are taught prayer. To serve God, you are taught prayer. And then when you leave the prayer service, you are searching for what? The answer to the prayer. You are studying then the answer to prayers. You find then that the prayer is the key to the knowledge that you were seeking. And Allah reminds us in the glorious Quran, when the prayer has been concluded, disperse within the land and seeking the bounty of Allah, and remember Allah often that you may succeed. I pray we answer the question Allah asked 5 times at the beginning of this juice. Is there a God with Allah? And we as a ummah say emphatically no. Now we close with the dua that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave to the ummah on this platform. And I quote, I pray that our ummah will rise. I pray that we will inspire the nations of Islam, inspire Mecca to take the lead, and call every nation of Islam, call them to rise and stand firm against the suffering of our fellow believing brothers. Even for those who are not Muslims, we are suffering the pain of war, poverty, hunger, that we will do our part. Thank you, Allah, for giving me these words. Thank you, dear believers, for listening to your brother. Thank you for rising to prayer. Thank you for rising to fast. Thank you for rising against our own personal weaknesses to stand firm on what Ramadan means. So I say it again, Ramadan Mubarak and Ramadan Kareem. Thank you, my dear ummah. Assalamu alaikum. Ameen. Thank you, our beloved brothers and sisters. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Brother Abdul Aleem, thank you for your spirited words and your way, brother. Thank you. And Moses got an 8-year contract. Go ahead and teach, my brother. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have our Ummah report by journalist Basim Youssef.
Basim Youssef, the renowned Egyptian comic, delivered a remarkable speech during the Indian Today 2024 conclave, leaving his audience in awe. He eloquently addressed pressing issues in human affairs, highlighting the worsening state of the world despite claims of civilization progress. He criticized the use of distorted justifications to perpetuate the subjugation of the weak and the rule over people. The speech resonated deeply with many, leading to speculation that the BJP party in India may have secretly sought to suppress the video due to its perceived anti-Western stance and commentary on domestic issues. Throughout his address, Youssef skillfully blended comedy with poignant criticism, directing his ire at those who exploit novel justifications to perpetuate human suffering. His critique particularly targeted nations like the United States, which have employed subtle tactics to invade and destabilize unfriendly countries in the Middle East. He cited the destruction of Iraq under false pretenses, emphasizing the ongoing struggle the nation faces in rebuilding after being decimated by fabricated claims of nuclear weapons possession. Youssef also condemned Western exceptionalism's impact on Libya, once a thriving Arab country now plagued by lawlessness and reports of open-air slavery. He highlighted these as failed experiments from which the world should learn to prevent similar tragedies, such as the ongoing conflict in Palestine. In urging humanity to live up to its intelligence and aspire to less barbaric behavior, Youssef challenged individuals and nations alike to practice what they preach about fundamental rights and civilization.
Human stories across our history, with their pain, struggle, grave injustice, are all connected. The stories might come from different parts of the world, different eras of our past, but at the core, they are more or less the same story. It's a story of who writes the story, who owns the narrative, and who manipulates the truth. Winston Churchill was a hero to the British Empire. He is even considered by many as the greatest Briton that ever lived. But for India and for many other ex-British colonies, he was a racist, colonial, and hateful enemy. Same goes for many European and American politicians,
brothers and sisters, we had
and military commanders. All through history, someone's hero is another one's colonial nightmare. But we don't write the story. They do. It is also a very old and repetitive story. Throughout history, humans killed other humans, conquered humans, enslaved humans, exploited humans. From an evolutionary point of view, we are animals, but we don't want to feel like animals. I won't just get up and kill you in the morning. Who do you think I am? An animal? No, I'm human. I am evolved. I only kill if I absolutely need to. So I need a justification. You are a threat. You are a danger. You brought it on yourself. But most importantly, you are not as human as me. Under the Nazis, Jewish people were called rats. It's not that easy to put a human in a gas chamber, but a rat? Put 10, put 100, put 1,000,000. It's just a rat, an animal, a subhuman lower than me. You can't just take another human, put him in chains, enslave them, torture them, and treat them like animal. You need to see him as an animal, as a savage, as someone who doesn't deserve to be human. It's their color. It's their primitive culture. They are less than me. You can't just starve or kill whole population. You need to see them as unworthy of living. Killing humans is difficult, but doing it because of feeling superior, entitled, that's easy. In short, humans have been consistent about one thing and one thing alone, being assholes to other humans.
Okay, I think we're back on. Brothers and sisters, we had a small technical glitch with our journalist Bassem Youssef, but it will be on the replay. We will now go to our fast fact with our brother, Brother Nasser, with the fast fact, Brother Nasser.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Our fast fact of the day is Ramadan is a reset, and it's all about the finish line. Dear Muslims, we are nearing the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. Some of us might be feeling energized, focused, and already reaping the rewards of increased prayer, Quran recitation, and acts of charity. Others of us, well, let's just say life got in the way. Things happened. Life is lifing. Maybe we missed a few fasts, our night prayers haven't been as consistent, or the Quran feels a little dusty on the shelf. But here's the beautiful truth about Ramadan. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, himself said, actions are according to their intentions and only receives everyone what he intended. Our intentions are constantly renewed in every single day. Every single moment in Ramadan is a fresh opportunity to turn towards Allah with renewed devotion. Think of Ramadan like a marathon, not a sprint. The most important thing isn't how fast you blast off the starting line, but whether you have the endurance and commitment to keep going until you cross the finish line. One of the great poets in the Black Nation, Nipsey Hussle, said, "The marathon continues." Maybe you started a little slow. That's all right. Adjust your pace. Find a rhythm that works for you. And know that even small steps forward lead you closer to your goals. Imagine we're in this race, dear believers. We might stumble at the beginning, even fall behind. But with every determined step, we are closing the gap. We might not be first across the finish line, but our perseverance, our refusal to give up, defines our success. That's the spirit we need to cultivate in Ramadan. Don't let a missed fast or a short prayer session discourage you. Remember the immense reward that awaits those who strive, even if they stumbled. Don't be discouraged if you haven't reached your goals yet. Remember the story of Musa and his servant Khidir? When Musa saw Khidir seemingly doing wrong, he questioned him. But Khidir patiently explained that there was a wisdom behind his actions, a wisdom that would only be revealed later. Similarly, there might be reasons for our initial struggles, but with faith and perseverance, the wisdom of this blessed month will unfold for us all. Here are some ways to use this Ramadan reset to your advantage. 1, focus on consistency. Don't overwhelm yourself trying to make up for lost time. Start small, but be consistent. Set realistic goals for daily prayers, Quran recitation, or acts of charity and gradually increase them as you go. Maybe you write down a schedule of sorts. 2, seek forgiveness and renewal. The entire purpose of Ramadan is to come closer to Allah. If you've stumbled, make sincere tawbah and move forward. Remember, the mercy of Allah is boundless. Find your support system. Surround yourself with people who inspire you and hold you accountable. Join a Ramadan study group, participate in community iftars, or find a friend to be your accountability partner. The last 10 days of Ramadan are considered especially blessed. Let's use this remaining time to truly elevate our worship and devotion. Let's use these days to build momentum to strengthen our faith and to emerge from Ramadan as better versions of ourselves. Remember the story of the Night of Power. It can fall on any night in the last 10 days. Let every night be a potential night of power for you. Seek out those extra prayers, those extra recitations, those extra acts of charity. My dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is truly a gift. Let's not waste it focusing on what we haven't done. Let's seize this opportunity for spiritual growth, transformation, and development. Let's make this Ramadan a finish line we cross with pride. Let this be our victory lap, knowing we gave it our all and emerged closer to Allah than ever before. Thank you for listening to the Fast Fact of the Day. Remember, Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Nasser. Thank you for the fast fact this morning. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're on day 20. And day 20, we start with chapter 27, verse 60 through chapter 29, verse 44. Surah 27, ayat 60 through Surah 29, ayat 44. Okay, and we're going to ask our brother, Brother Shaheed, would you now close us with prayer? Brother Shaheed. Brother Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum. Can I be heard now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Things are going a little strange this morning.
Yes, sir.
Dear Muslims, let us close with prayer. Al-Fatiha. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم إنك أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام آمين
آمين آمين. Thank you, Brother Shahid, for your prayers with us this morning. Brothers and sisters, as we close, we want to say on behalf of our guest speaker this morning, our student minister Imam Brother Abdul Aleem Ansari Muhammad, thank you and your family. Thank you for your inspiring words with us this morning, my brother. And may Allah continue to bless you. Bless you. All praises are due to Allah and the believers there in Houston. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank you, dear minister, for all that you have done and are doing to spread this mighty word of Islam. We thank you, dear minister. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, that we thank Allah for each and every one of you for all that you have done and are doing in spreading this word of Islam. May Allah continue to bless you. On behalf of the ministers and imams who are spreading this mighty word of Islam, may Allah continue to bless you all. And on behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Nasser, Brother Shahid, and on behalf of each and every one of you, before we close, let me apologize for the short glitches that we are having. But, you know, life is real. As Brother Nasser said, life keep life in. Let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we will be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala
glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah, there is no God but Allah, Allah is great, all power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.